Welcome to this portion of the worship, the Word of God, from Daleville Christian Church. There are red balloons floating in the sanctuary because Daleville Christian Church acknowledges that Jesus went to the Father. John's Gospel, Jesus says 6 times, "I am going to the Heavenly Father," and Jesus went to the Father by way of the cross. And then Jesus left the disciples to send the Holy Spirit, and red is the traditional color of the Holy Spirit in the churches. We have an affirmation of faith, which is from 2 Thessalonians in the 2nd chapter. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The reading of God's word for today is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 28 through 31. I think actually we're going through 34. And the little title over the paragraph says, "The Greatest Commandment." Those, of course, are not a part of the original text of the Bible, but sometimes they help us focus. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Parenthetically, this was often a question the Pharisees asked one another for discussion and for understanding God's will and God's law. "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Today we turn to a very complicated topic. The topic is you. The topic is me. The topic is love. Today's topic is self-love. Today we will explore why self-love is a difficult topic, and we will discover why Jesus' followers, at least in America, for sure, struggle with self-love. And you're saying to yourself, "Pastor, you think self-love is a difficult topic?" Yes, self-love is a difficult topic, complicated, complex, and I can prove it. Answer me this question. Is daily exercise, let's say running, is running self-love or self-torture? Aha! See, this is not so easy. Making yourself exercise several times a week in a society where most of us sit down all day, exercise several times a week is self-love. Our great-grandparents did not sit down most of their waking hours. Everything about their daily lives was a lot of work, like pumping water. Jesus walked everywhere he went, and no Christian in America has ever thought that that was a good idea, worth imitating. What would Jesus do? Jesus would walk. Jesus did pray, and Jesus did walk, and most Americans try to get through the day and get through life without enough of either praying or walking. Okay, why is self-love a complicated topic? Well, the answer is in the Bible, The answer, the complexity of self-love, is in the beginning. The first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 3, Adam and Eve have just eaten of the fruit of the tree forbidden by the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 8, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. That's strange behavior, isn't it? Verse 9, but the Lord God called to the man, where are you? And remember, God knows exactly where Adam is, but the Lord wants Adam to hear Adam's own answer to the question, and here it is. Verse 10, Adam answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Look at that. Adam states, Lord, I heard you. I was afraid of you. Lord, I hid from you. Adam and Eve, created in the image of God, afraid of God, and attempting to hide from God. Adam and Eve attempting to hide from their Creator who loves them, who gave them life in the marvelous garden, paradise, it's called. And Adam states they are afraid. The word afraid is in the Bible over 200 times, and yes, you guessed it, this is the first time fear is mentioned in the Bible. There are all the indications that some sort of shift has happened within the heart of humanity. It now fears the source of life and love and attempts to hide from that source. The man and woman were attempting to hide from the Heavenly Father. Does that sound loving to you? Is hiding from the source of life and love, is that self-love? Is hiding from the source of life and love the best response for Adam's self-care? Well, something is wrong. Something had gone wrong that day in the heart of man. And it was going to get worse before that day was over. God states, beginning in verse 17, because you consulted your wife and not me, and went ahead and ate of the fruit of the tree that I told you not to eat from, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Everything in creation was created good. God pronounced it good. And in harmony. Paradise. Paradise had become affected by Adam and Eve's failure. Paradise had become infected by Adam and Eve's failure. Their relationship to God was affected. Their place in creation was affected. Their relationship to the earth was affected. Their relationship to one another and their relationship to themselves, all affected. They will live in struggle with creation. They will live in struggle with each other. They will struggle within their own hearts. They will know conflict. They will have conflict. And they themselves, within themselves, will be conflicted. Human beings themselves, within themselves, will be conflicted. And that's why you and I have trouble answering the question whether if exercising every day is self-love or self-torture. You know, there are people who don't like to sweat, a perfectly natural and necessary body function. And they don't like running. And there are people who sweat excessively. It's called hyperhidrosis. They don't have to exercise and they will sweat. Creation is messed up and so are we. You could use the word divide in divisions. Man, humanity, is divided from nature. From paradise. The man and woman are divided. Adam made this clear by his words. He wasn't going to take all the blame. The woman, Lord, whom you gave me, she gave me the fruit. Adam points to the division with Eve and the division with God, blaming God. And the couple, in turn, were divided within themselves. Adam stated, "I hid my nakedness." Strange, isn't it? For whose benefit is Adam hiding his nakedness? Adam's no longer comfortable with the sight of his own body, his own flesh. Yesterday, everything was fine, but that day, everything changed. So why is self-love complicated? Because we complicated it. We can no longer do what comes naturally because we don't remember what it is. Why do we humans participate willingly in self-destructive behaviors? Like tobacco. Tobacco is addictive, and a person can moderate their use of tobacco, but tobacco has no positive effects on the body. It has destructive effects on the body. Or alcohol. Alcohol doesn't destroy brain cells, but alcohol can interfere with production of brain cells as replacement. In the meantime, excesses of alcohol can interfere with other organ functions, unhealthy weight gain, and interfere with basic brain function. And then you might not remember any of that because of the alcohol. So you can keep repeating the process, never remembering that the behavior is self-destructive. Addictions of any substance will break every other relationship, and that's not good for you. And another problem, not just in America, but across the world, despite starvation in several places in the world, overeating and unhealthy weight gain are an American export. Jim Gaffigan, an American comedian, has made a lot of money poking fun at Americans and their food consumption, and Jim Gaffigan uses himself as an example. And I appreciate that Jim Gaffigan's from the Midwest. He says he was sitting on the couch eating ice cream, and his wife walked in and said, "Are you going to eat that entire pint of ice cream yourself?" Jim says, "Yes, hopefully." And he goes on to say, "And I did eat that entire pint of ice cream because I'm not a quitter." Comedian Conan O'Brien has suggested that food companies should put warning labels on their snack foods. The warning should say, "Hey, fatty, don't eat the whole bag." How many years have we been putting labels on food at fast food restaurants? Well, it started in 2011. For over 10 years, you and I can know exactly how many calories we're taking in. And that information has not made any difference in America's march toward obesity. And the fat get fatter. Once Americans become obese, they keep right on gaining weight. Everyone gets fat, and the fat get fatter. It's probably politically incorrect to say we know the fattest cities in America. Actually, the statistic is more dire than that. The statistic is for overweight, high blood pressure, no exercise, and diabetes. Our state has two metro areas in the top 35 cities in the country, having the worst individual health in the entire country. Americans eating what they want to eat is pretty much self-destructive behavior. I talk about American eating habits because everyone eats, including Jesus followers, and Americans have a long-standing record and tradition of overeating. Americans continuing to eat what we want and continuing to eat what we like cannot be understood as self-love. It's freedom, but it isn't self-love. We will often fool ourselves and think, "I need to treat myself. I deserve this large Oreo Blizzard." A large Oreo Blizzard is one of my favorites at DQ. How about if we ask the doctor whether I need to treat myself with an Oreo Blizzard? Would your doctor agree that the large DQ Blizzard fits into your healthy diet plan? And that's assuming that you and I already have a healthy diet plan? Will you shift your diet plan to make room for the large DQ blizzard? How much of that large DQ blizzard is truly treating yourself well? Or is the DQ blizzard part of your not very well thought out plan on self-destruction? And you're saying, wow, Pastor, self-love is complicated. Yes, I know. Really, you should just do what I do. When they ask you at DQ what you want today, I say, well, I would like a large Oreo blizzard if you promise not to tell my doctor. The person behind the counter readily agrees to join me in my conspiracy to throw a wrench into my self-loving diet plan. Self-love is complicated, and we have complicated it. I've been reading a book by two Christian therapists. The book is entitled The Missing Commandment, Love Yourself. The subtitle states, it isn't missing from the Bible, it's missing from our lives. The authors explain, Jerry and Denise Basil, that the book was intended to clarify this crucial need. The ability to love ourselves. Not only is loving yourself biblical, it's an essential truth for Christians to know, it's an essential truth for Christians to experience, and it's an essential truth for Christians to live out. Basically, it can be summed up in one sentence, one commandment. Love what God loves. Love what God loves. That always includes you. Always. God loves himself, God loves us. We are to love God and love others as we also love ourselves. Love as we also love ourselves. That's what Jesus said. Isn't the golden rule to do unto others what we would do to ourselves? That teaching assumes that we are not willfully destroying ourselves, our health and well-being. Let me put it this way. Everyone here today and those who will hear this message have accomplished something important up to this point in their lives. You and I have survived. That you survived a worldwide pandemic that killed more Americans than the 1918 flu pandemic means you really are accomplished at survival. But not everything we ever did to survive in the pandemic was good for you. True? We've already had these debates all through the pandemic. Isolation is not good for us. And yet those who isolated were working for their personal survival, and those who quarantined were working for other people's survival. But nobody liked it, and isolation isn't good for us. Isolation might have worked for our survival, but it doesn't work for us to thrive. Isolation will not help any of us to thrive. Once we have survived, we may now work on thriving. I like to say we know how to survive. Do we know how to thrive? We've worked on our survival. Now it's time to work on our thrival. Yes, it's a word I made up. Seems to me if you have survival, you should have thrival. Some of us have houseplants that have survived living in our homes. True? But our houseplants want to do more than survive. They want to thrive. So do we. You and I want to do more than survive. We want to thrive. Love is about thriving. Loving yourself is about your thriving. We know what to do for ourselves to survive. Do we know what to do for ourselves to thrive? Self-love is a part of thriving. And what do thriving plants do? Thriving plants produce fruit or flowers or both. Jesus said, you and I will produce fruit. I will grant you that you and I should not have to work at self-love. Self-love should come naturally. But the Bible and our houseplants tell a different story. Sin moves us towards self-destruction. Self-destruction is sweetened with a lot of sugar and calories and a lot of fat, but self-destruction is still self-destruction. It sounds strange, but our self-love often suffers from neglect Just ask our house plants. And we all know what happens to neglected house plants, don't we? They shrivel, they dry up, and eventually crumble. And we might not even notice. So next time, we will discuss what God has been trying to do for our self-love, because our loving Heavenly Father wants you and me to thrive, to bear fruit. Jesus said, "You have answered correctly. You are not far from the kingdom of God." Amen.